Welcome to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On today's program, we look at a recent initiative that Facebook has announced, calling a truce with corporate media as it unveils Facebook News. What could go wrong? On today's program, we're joined by Associate Director of Project Censored and co-editor of Censored 2020, Andy Lee Roth, and we'll talk about these efforts to combat fake news and have social media is trying to clean up its image. But in reality, is this really just a Trojan horse for silencing alternative news and reestablishing corporate news dominance? Stay tuned to the Project Censored Show and find out.
Crimes perpetrated by the criminal minds, political ties, habitualized alibis, skies, another guy's democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On this segment of the program, we are going to take a look at a subject that involves, well, allegedly policing fake news and trying to deal with getting the news media to tell us what's actually going on as it relates to social media. And the occasion for this conversation, recently, in fact, in late October, Facebook just announced a news partnership. The New York Times calls it a truce with publishers as it unveils Facebook News. So as many listeners know, Project Censored has been covering social media issues and censorship online and deplatforming and the rest. We also have a chapter, of course, in the new censored book, 2020 Through the Looking Glass, on fake news, the Trojan horse for silencing alternative news and reestablishing corporate news dominance. And we'll be featuring that at some point here. But on today's show right now, I'm welcoming back to the program the Associate Director of Project Censored, Andy Lee Roth. Andy Roth, the Associate Director, also co-edited with me, Censored 2020 Through the Looking Glass, out now on Seven Stories Press. Andy Lee Roth, PhD, is a sociologist, and he serves as Project Censored's Associate Director and also heads up the Validated Independent News Program that researches underreported stories. Andy Roth also, of course, has been published in Yes Magazine, In These Times, as well as scholarly journals, including Media, Culture, and Society, and the International Journal of Press and Politics, and previous volumes of the Censored Yearbook. Also, this year in Censored 2020, Andy Roth and I and several other of our faculty and student participants actually have a story that was researched on a related matter to today's topic, and we'll probably be getting into some of those details. But this is more breaking information that in late October, Facebook basically unveiled this news partnership with news programs. And Andy Roth, welcome back to the program to talk about this important issue.
Thanks so much, Mickey. So yeah, you're quite right. We've been tracking, we at Project Censored have certainly been tracking these developments. And as you say, earlier in October, Facebook announced the launch of Facebook News, which will be a partnership with a number of major news publications, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, also some smaller outlets like BuzzFeed and Business Insider. And part of this deal is that Facebook will pay for content, for news content from those August publications. Some of these deals are reportedly multi-year contracts that are worth millions of dollars. This is no small thing because, of course, anyone who's been following the work of Project Censored or media consolidation in general will know that since social media became a major player, social media giants like Facebook, Google, YouTube, and others have been cutting into the advertising revenue that corporate news media depend on as their very lifeblood. The estimates are that as much as 80% of what the corporate media has historically depended on as advertising revenue to run these for-profit organizations has been siphoned away from the corporate news outlets themselves to social media platforms like Facebook. So this is major news. The New York Times article that we'll be looking at in more depth later in this conversation described the partnership as an uneasy truce between Facebook and the news publishing industry, right, who have long been considered frenemies, to use the New York Times description. So I think one of the points of having a conversation about this is to dig deeper into the analysis of this deal. And it's timely in the sense that Censored 2020 has, as you've mentioned, Mickey, both a top 25 story that relates to this notion of partnerships between Facebook and third parties, and also, of course, Emil Marmol and Lee Majors' outstanding chapter on how the fear of fake news has allowed corporate news outlets and other entities to effectively silence alternative news outlets in an effort to reestablish corporate dominance of news content and news messaging. So these are big topics that I think go to the very core of what we at Project Censored have been doing since 1976 now.
Yeah, and Andy Roth, it's interesting to note, perhaps we can riff a little bit on the story number two that's in the Censored 2020 book, Think Tank Partnerships Establish Facebook as a Tool of U.S. Foreign Policy. We were highlighting and researching this back when Adam Johnson was writing at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Alan McLeod was writing at FAIR as well. We had the World Socialist website chiming in on this, Global Research, Common Dreams, of course, Mint Press News, Alexander Rubenstein and Elliot Gabriel. They've been long writing about particularly social media and Facebook teaming up with groups that they may sound benevolent or neutral sounding institutions, but a careful look beneath the surface clearly illustrates that these are organizations that have an interest in the news for certain reasons and an interest into curating social media information, not just because they're wanting to fight fake news, but rather they want to curate the overall messaging and what is included and what is not. So could you speak to some of the examples that we have here just even in Censored 2020?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'd put this in the context of an observation from the late, great Ben Bagdikian, author of The Media Monopoly, who consistently, in almost every platform where he spoke publicly and in much of his writing, he constantly reminded people that media power is political power. And that, I think, is the big frame for understanding this story, our number two story in the top 25 list from Censored 2020 about these think tank partnerships with Facebook. This is our number two story because, A, the partnerships themselves are big business and all about political power, about translating media influence into political power. And also, this is a story in the top 25 list because it's something that the corporate media simply failed to cover. You mentioned Mint Press News, Common Dreams, FAIR, Shadowproof with Kevin Gastola, among others. All of these outlets that were covering the partnerships that we're about to discuss, all the coverage that we could identify on this story came by and large from independent news outlets. This story, in effect, was invisible in the corporate media. And that's a theme I want to come back to when we turn to the latest Facebook venture, the Facebook News Partnership Program that we're talking about. But to dig a little deeper, the partnerships that are the focus of the number two story in Censored 2020 are partnerships with think tanks, and in particular with the Atlantic Council, and also with the National Democratic Institute, or the NDI, and the International Republican Institute. So most Americans, I would say, don't know about these organizations. And when they hear the word think tank, they're inclined to think, well, that's an organization whose work is to study problems and suggest solutions. And there's an air of authority that's echoed in a lot of the names of these places. So in addition to things like the Atlantic Council, like the Heritage Foundation, the Heartland Institute, right? Many of these think tank organizations have these kind of august sounding names, right? Heritage, Heartland.
American Enterprise Institute.
Yes, right. But in fact, these are partisan players. Think tanks are partisan players. They're ideologically driven. They're driven in part by who the financial backers of the entities are. And those financial interests are often guiding who, in effect, are the experts and spokespeople for these organizations and how they talk publicly about their mission. Nowhere could this be more true than with the case with the Atlantic Council. So going back to story number two from Censored 2020, Facebook in May of 2018 announced that it would partner with the Atlantic Council to, quote, identify emerging threats and disinformation campaigns around the world so that Facebook could, quote, fight abuse on our platform. They would be better able to fight abuse through this partnership. So what is the Atlantic Council? Well, a simple answer is it's a Washington, D.C.-based think tank, and that leads to all these associations I was just describing. But if you look deeper, who funds the Atlantic Council gives us an idea of how its mission may be ideologically driven, and that in turn makes it more clear why partnering with the Atlantic Council might be problematic for Facebook as a purveyor of news. So the Atlantic Council is funded in part by the U.S. Department of State, by branches of the U.S. military, including the Navy, the Army, and the Air Force, by a number of multinational corporations, including fossil fuel giants like Chevron, ExxonMobil, Royal Dutch Shell, global asset management firms, which sound like a mouthful, but anyone who's read Peter Phillips' book, Giants, or knows about Peter's work on these giant transnational firms that represent the interests of the elite of the very elite. They're also major funders of the Atlantic Council, as are top military contractors. And indeed, I believe it was a New York Times story reported years ago that between 2008 and 2013, more than 25 foreign nations donated significant amounts of money to influence the Atlantic Council. So you mentioned Adam Johnson at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and in his assessment of the Atlantic Council, he noted in one article about this partnership that the Atlantic Council represents, I'm quoting Adam Johnson of Fair here, a very limited pro-Western ideological framework that debates how much and where U.S. military and soft power should be wielded, not if it should be. So the Atlantic Council, as a partner with Facebook, is a partner that has a definite agenda, has definite funders who expect it to perform in certain ways and to achieve certain perspectives in terms of influencing not only U.S. foreign policy, but also public opinion.
I'd like to remind listeners that you are tuned to the Project Censored show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. Right now, we're speaking with Associate Director of Project Censored, Dr. Andy Lee Roth. He is co-editor with me of Censored 2020 Through the Looking Glass. We're talking about recent developments from late October where Facebook announced that it was going to partner with news organizations. All right, this is all under the aegis of allegedly fighting fake news and trying to get the best news available. And what Andy Roth and I are talking about now is more of an analysis of this that comes out of Censored 2020, our second story on think tank partnerships, establishing Facebook as a tool of U.S. foreign policy. We also, of course, have an entire chapter in the book on how this whole issue of fighting fake news is actually a Trojan horse to reestablish corporate control over narratives. So after this brief musical break, I'll come back and talk with Andy Lee Roth about a few other ways that this very topic has been covered in the corporate media, was in the New York Times very recently, as well as the Wall Street Journal. So after this brief break, we'll come back and we'll continue talking about this announcement of Facebook News. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On this segment of the program, we're speaking with Associate Director of Project Censored, Dr. Andy Lee Roth. He also is the head of our Validated Independent News Research Program that helps look at the top 25 stories every year. And we work with hundreds of students and scores of professors across the United States looking at these stories. And it just so happens that one of the top stories from this year looked at social media, particularly Facebook, and how they were working with what on the surface look like think tanks and people that are trying to sort out what's happening with information and news and propaganda, but are actually far right-leaning or military-industrial complex fronts. And we were just talking about the Atlantic Council and their role as fact-checker over at Facebook. And of course, we're talking about this in the context very recently where Facebook called for a truce with publishers as it unveils something called Facebook News. So Andy Roth, let's continue our conversation here. We gave people a background of what we're talking about. We gave them a little bit of information about what's already in Censored 2020. By the way, if you go to projectcensored.org, you can find the top 25 stories online for free. And we were referencing story two from this year. But getting back to you, Andy Lee Roth, let's take a deeper look into some of the other ways that this has been covered lately. And let's also talk a little bit more about the New York Times, the Washington Post, and how this is being framed or spun by social media and their now new corporate media publishers, not rivals.
Right. So understanding the launch of Facebook News, this partnership requires, as we were saying, like going back and looking at some of Facebook's prior partnerships and how those might, rather than protect and expand the free flow of information and news through Facebook, how it might in effect serve to filter and throttle it, all under the framework of building on Ben Bagdikian's insight that media power is political power. So after the Atlantic Council partnered with Facebook, the Atlantic Council, this Washington-based think tank with heavy funding from the Department of State, branches of the U.S. military, major multinational corporations, and indeed foreign governments, what we found, actually what independent journalists whose news coverage we highlight and celebrate in Censored 2020, what we found was that independent news sites and their Facebook pages were finding significantly reduced traffic. So places like Common Dreams, Slate, saw their traffic dwindle to next to nothing. Facebook shut down the Telesur English Facebook page, though it was later reinstated after protests. So all this then as background, as unstated, unacknowledged background for the corporate news coverage of this latest Facebook partnership with major establishment news outlets. And I think before diving into the details of that, I want to suggest that to understand the reporting about the launch of this new Facebook partnership, we need to do some of what Project Censored so often does, and that's to identify and analyze what are, in effect, blind spots in corporate news coverage. And this is challenging work. It's the equivalent, as I think of it, of looking at a picture and asking what should be there but isn't, right? And this is challenging in terms of a research method. How do we inquire critically to say that something isn't simply missing, but that it's relevantly missing? So someone listening to this broadcast could say, well, the Project Censored show seems to be censoring coverage of the World Series baseball games because Mickey and Andy haven't said a word about that story yet. That's missing news that's important. And the question is, yes, that's absolutely correct. Objectively, we have not discussed the World Series. The question is it relevant that the World Series is missing as a point of information from this topic? And I would argue it's probably not.
The only important part would be that Trump was booed roundly by the Nationals crowd. So, but moving along from that.
So anyway, there's this challenge of when we're talking about blind spots in the corporate news, we're talking about where do you locate underreported stories if they're not in the press themselves? What's the threshold for calling a story important? Or for determining that if it is important, that it hasn't been fully covered, right? In answer to the first of those questions, where do we locate underreported stories if not in the press itself? Of course, when we're critiquing the corporate establishment media, what many people like to call the mainstream media, although that term is misleading for a number of reasons, we can always look to the independent press, right, as an alternative source of perspective and information. And so that's some of how we can identify blind spots in the corporate media. Insofar as we have a robust, sustainable, independent media, we have a way of checking what corporate media are saying, what they're leaving out, what they're highlighting in misleading ways, and so forth and so on. So when we look at the number two story about these corporate partnerships with think tanks like the Atlantic Council, that provides us, thanks to the independent news outlets that covered that story, that provides us a context for talking about what's not included or for seeing more clearly the biases in the corporate news coverage of this new Facebook news partnership.
You know, when we take a look at these partnerships, when you get into the New York Times article that you had referenced earlier, the New York Times piece is called Facebook Calls Truce with Publishers as it Unveils Facebook News. That's an October 25 article, 2019. It mentions that there are some organizations that are watchdogs, digital watchdogs that monitor some of this stuff, including one called Sleeping Giants, that notice that Facebook has been partnering with all kinds of these groups. Before the Weekly Standard, the neoconservative publication, collapsed, they were a fact checker over there. Breitbart is not only a former fact checker, but now news partner. And of course, listeners to this program remember Steve Bannon. Breitbart was called a platform for the alt-right. The owners of Breitbart were also connected to Cambridge Analytica. This was in Censored 2018, going back a couple years to the Cambridge Analytica story before it even broke. Then later in the New York Times article, it goes in and starts talking about how the New York Times, they don't see these major news companies now aren't going to look at Facebook as a competitor, but they look at it as a way of building digital subscriptions. So they're looking at it as a revenue enhancer, as well as a way to hone messaging and marginalize views that are critical of corporate capitalism in particular.
If you read this New York Times article, with the exception of the quotation from a tweet by Sleeping Giants, which is a digital watchdog company that monitors advertisers like Breitbart, with the exception of that, the whole article is in some ways a giant shake your money maker kind of piece, right? Who's quoted in this story? The first person to get quoted is Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook chief executive. Here's what the Times coverage is a platform for. After we sweep aside one dissident voice, the Sleeping Giants quote, which they didn't even talk to anyone at Sleeping Giants, they collected a tweet. We could rest on that for a moment. Is this high quality reporting? The only dissident voice is a tweet. This is not get the seat of your pants dirty, wear the leather off the soles of your shoes, old school reporting, going out and talking to sources. But who is quoted? Mark Zuckerberg. Quote, we feel acute responsibility because there's obviously an awareness that the internet has disrupted the news industry business model. Now, it might seem that I was a little crass a moment ago saying shake your moneymaker kind of coverage here, but this is Mark Zuckerberg boasting. We feel acute responsibility because we're so big and powerful that we've disrupted the news industry. Who else is quoted? Robert Thompson is the chief executive of News Corp, which, of course, 21st Century Fox, Fox Corporation, as the conglomerates organize and reorganize, the names change, but the powerful structures remain. Thompson is quoted. His quote is an assessment of Mark Zuckerberg, who he says, quote, seems personally and professionally committed to ensuring that high-quality journalism has a viable, valued future. We could pause here to take a moment of silence and consider what the chief executive of News Corporation might consider to be high-quality journalism.
With Gianpiero and Sean Hannity, they just let Shep Smith go, and he actually seemed to be somebody that more closely resembled a journalist over at Fox, and he's out. So yeah, I think pausing and considering that is important because, again, what these folks are doing, and this comes out at even greater length in Censored 2020 in Chapter 8 by Emil Marmol and Lee Major, their chapter, Fake News, the Trojan Horse for Silencing Alternative News and Reestablishing Corporate News Dominance. These people are basically burying the hatchet, so to speak, and basically saying, hey, how can we benefit each other while tailoring information to the news that will benefit our interests, our bottom lines, while also redefining journalism as that which with they agree.
Exactly. So continuing this dissection of this New York Times article, the next quotation is from the chief executive and the chief operating officer of The Times, which is the parent organization that owns and runs the New York Times. Mark Thompson and Meredith Kopit-Levine are quoted, quote, we have long argued that the major platforms, referring to, of course, to Facebook and other social media platforms, quote, derive substantial value from the presence of high-quality journalism and should help support the economics that make that journalism possible. we welcome the fact that Facebook has taken a lead here. So again, this is about economic relationships, and entities that have thought of themselves as frenemies may be able to team up and become even more profitable. The last quote that I would draw attention to is from Campbell Brown, who will be the head of the new Facebook News program. And Facebook News is the actual name of this program. So Campbell Brown is described in the article as a veteran TV journalist who covered politics for NBC and CNN before joining Facebook as head of the news partnership. Campbell Brown, in this role, is, of course, mostly concerned about how this will affect the people who use Facebook, Facebook's clients. She says, quote, "People want and benefit from personalized experiences on Facebook, but we know there is reporting that transcends individual experience. We want to support both." So again, the kind of public face of this organization is presenting this very measured and reasonable middle ground type position. Facebook is about personalized experience, but we aren't going to let people sit in their little silos. There is reporting that, quote, transcends individual experience, and they're going to bring that to people through this new program, this new partnership. So the whole thing, perhaps not surprisingly, given the outlet, right, we were talking here about an article published in the New York Times. The whole article is driven by the perspectives of officials from the different entities that stand to gain from the partnership, right? So it's Zuckerberg, it's the chief executive of News Corp, one of the partners. It's the chief executive and operating officer of the New York Times parent organization. And it's the former corporate news reporter turned Facebook spokesperson, Campbell Brown. So there's no dissident views in this coverage at all, except for, as we mentioned, the Sleeping Giants tweet, which is quoted and then left behind.
I'd like to remind listeners, we're speaking right now to Dr. Andy Lee Roth. He's the associate director at Project Censored and also heads up our validated independent news research program, looking at underreported stories every year. Also co-editor of Censored 2020 Through the Looking Glass. The topic that we're talking about right now actually is in story number 2 of the 2020 book, Think Tank Partnerships Establish Facebook as a Tool of U.S. Foreign Policy. And what we're doing is we're kind of catching up and following along with that story. Facebook announced in late October that it was going to be creating a news partnerships with Legacy and Corporate Press, and I've been speaking with Andy Lee Roth about that topic. After this brief musical break, we're going to come back and look at a few other articles, canaries in the coal mine, so to speak, people that have been warning us that this was coming, people talking about how this is going to be a new effort of censorship, not just refining news allegedly under the guise of fighting mis- and disinformation. So when we come back after this break, I'll continue my conversation with Andy Lee Roth about a particular story from Mother Jones from earlier this spring, how Facebook screwed us all. It's not just spreading phony stories everywhere, it's killing real news. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On this program today, we are rejoined by the Associate Director of Project Censored, Dr. Andy Lee Roth. Andy Lee Roth is co-editor of Censored 2020 Through the Looking Glass, out on Seven Stories Press. I was co-editor with Andy on this annual Censored volume once again. In this book, we have our second story that talks about social media censorship and partnering with think tanks connected to the military-industrial complex and so forth. Andy Roth and I, just for the last segment here of the program, have been talking about those stories, as well as Facebook's recent announcement of partnering with news organizations as fact-checkers and so forth, including a number of right-wing think tanks and organizations. Right now, we are going to turn our attention toward the issue of the internet and social media and how it's changed not just landscape of information, but changed habits in terms of how we get information and even whether or not we think critically about it. A quote from the whistleblower and publisher Julian Assange might help frame this segment. And this is something that was written about again also in Censored 2020 in a chapter called Fake News, the Trojan Horse for Silencing Alternative News and Reestablishing Corporate News Dominance by Emil Marmolini Major. Assange is quoted as saying, we're talking about a move to reestablish discourse control here is basically the overarching topic. Assange said, while the internet has brought about a revolution in people's ability to educate themselves and others, the resulting democratic phenomenon has shaken existing establishments to their core. Google, Facebook, and their Chinese equivalents, who are socially, logistically, and financially integrated with existing elites, have moved to reestablish discourse control. This is not simply a corrective action. Undetectable mass social influence powered by artificial intelligence is an existential threat to humanity. That's a real mouthful from Julian Assange. And Andy Roth, you call attention to a recent piece from Spring in Mother Jones that goes into some of the particulars and the problems with social media as news disseminators. Reminds me of a book published this last year that I used with a class last semester called Anti-Social Media on the Destructive Effects Facebook Has on the Democratic Process by Siva Vaidnathan. And there, of course, are more. But Andy Lee Roth, could you tell our listeners about some of the warnings here and some of the analysis that Mother Jones published this spring?
Yeah, this was the cover story of the March and April 2019 issue of Mother Jones. It's also available online on the Mother Jones website. Monica Bauerlein and Clara Jeffrey wrote the article, How Facebook Screwed Us All. And behind that colorful title is an amazingly in-depth report about how Facebook, amid scandals over its clickbait coverage, purveying of fake news, and its partnerships with Cambridge Analytica, which we talk about in story number 5 of Censored 2018, which is also online, how big data and dark money were behind the 2016 election. How, while Facebook was weathering all these scandals, they were engaged in a series of shifting practices that decimated online news purveyors, organizations like Mike. The details of the Mike case. Mike, it was one of the news organizations that under incentives from Facebook made what Facebook called the pivot to video, which was an effort to target news-hungry millennials with content because Facebook doesn't see itself as a news organization and it's not really in the sense of having investigative reporters. It got organizations like Mike to do this kind of reporting in video format. When Facebook decided after a period of what I believe was just a few months that it was tired of doing that, it cut those contracts, and Mike, the digital publisher, was forced to sell itself at a deeply discounted rate. Its value had increased to as much as $100 million at the peak of the kind of Facebook ride. But eventually, when Facebook chose to not pursue this digital news targeting millennials anymore, Mike ended up dumping its entire newsroom. Mm-hmm. Now you might say, well, that sounds terrible, but what does that actually mean? It means something very specific in terms of what we at Project Censored do. I will give a concrete example. Also in that Censored 2018 book, one of our top stories that year was about the rise in the number of transgender people who have been murdered. And one of the reports, the central report in Project Censored's coverage of that topic, originated with Mike. It was a report by Meredith Tallison called Documenting Trans Homicides. Mike ran that story in December of 2016, and it was an incredibly in-depth. I believe at the time there was no more systemic statistical overview of the number of transgender murders than what Mike had put together. So Facebook pursues a profit motivated effort to grab the attention of millennials through video based news. Facebook provides huge financial incentives for organizations like Mike, which are doing great independent news reporting at the time, to pivot to video. Facebook, effectively on a whim, decides that that is no longer what it wants to do. Mike, a small organization, has reoriented all their resources to produce news in a specific format that is amenable to the Facebook platform. And Mike is effectively driven out of the news reporting business. Censored 2018 is probably the last volume, I think, that has a top 25 story by Mike, not because they're not doing good quality reporting anymore, but because Facebook's business decisions led to the decimation of Mike's newsroom. And that's all reported in much greater detail by the Mother Jones article, How Facebook Screwed Us All. Mike is one example there, but there are a number. And Mike features in the Mother Jones article because they were more open than most news organizations have been about the impacts of this on their ability to continue to report news. But we know from other anecdotal sources that many other news outlets, independent news outlets that have not been as open about the negative impacts have nonetheless suffered negative impacts due to these kind of shifting Facebook policies. So this is the other part of that equation that Emil Marmol and Lee Major are documenting in their chapter in the Censored 2020 volume, which is that it's both the consolidating of corporate news power through social media, but it's also at the same time the dislodging and ultimately defunding and therefore effectively decapitating, or efforts to defund and therefore decapitate, independent news outlets.
So Andy Lee Roth, in addition to that, in addition to the defunding, we've also seen Twitter and Facebook use their power as social media corporations, not just working behind the scenes with shadowy organizations like the Atlantic Council and the German Marshall Fund that's full of neocons and others, another called the Alliance for Securing Democracy is part of the German Marshall Fund. These benevolent-sounding names don't really get to the bottom of what they're actually about and who's actually in them, whether it's a Henry Kissinger or a neocon like Bill Kristol and Robert Kagan. These are hardly neutral observers or regular fact-checkers that have been working with and partnering with Facebook in various ways. And in that other chapter that we've been mentioning, there's a long list of how this sort of trial ballooning of censorship went over and went up, starting back with the banning of the controversial performance artist masquerading as a journalist, Alex Jones, over at InfoWars. And when he was deplatformed from social media, there was a lot of celebration, certainly a lot of celebration among liberals and some on the left, good riddance to bad rubbish kind of thing. But what that did as a trial balloon, it set the stage for Facebook not only to be curating information or working with other shadowy organizations and sharing information unbeknownst to users, like with Cambridge Analytica. They also deleted, by October of 2018, they deleted 800 accounts at Facebook and Twitter. So not just the effect financially, what happened to Mike, as you explained from the Mother Jones article, but Twitter then banned the posting of hacked materials. Instagram, that's a subsidiary of Facebook, suspended accounts of several Iranians. So they're getting very selective here about who's getting a voice and who's not getting a voice. And that gets us back to the quote from Julian Assange that we started this segment with. So maybe we can then connect the dots there between the people who are advising these social media companies and then the type of information that seems to get deplatformed. Andy Lee Roth, talk a little bit about some of those issues.
For certain. I think this fits exactly with the theme of Censored 2020, is through the looking glass. And throughout this year's Project Censored volume, we're talking about what we refer to as the looking glass logic of the corporate media. And it's nowhere more evident than in this topic, looking glass logic. So the idea that things are inverted and distorted, and what appears up is actually down, and what's down is actually up. So keep that notion of a looking glass logic in mind as we review the following. Mark Zuckerberg, the chief executive of Facebook, gave a 35-minute speech at Georgetown University in a hall where previously the people who give addresses in this venue at Georgetown are presidents and foreign heads of state. And in this address, Zuckerberg was partly responding to recent accusations by Senator Elizabeth Warren, who had accused Facebook of being a disinformation for profit machine. So Zuckerberg was counterpunching at Georgetown. And one of the things he said was, people having the power to express themselves at scale is a new kind of force in the world, a fifth estate alongside the other power structures of society. The people having the power to express themselves is directly resonating with the message we were talking about earlier from Campbell Brown. People want to benefit from personalized experiences on Facebook. This is part of the mantra of what makes Facebook a great thing in our society and around the world. And then he likens that to a fifth estate, right? If the journalism is the fourth estate, which acts as a check and balance on the three estates of government, right? The executive, the congressional, legislative, and the judicial, right? Now we have a fifth estate, the people, right, expressing themselves at scale through this platform. So on one hand, it's all about free speech. And in this speech that Zuckerberg gave at Georgetown, he's saying Facebook will not police political speech. So that's one side of the looking glass logic. The other side is that we know, thanks to reporting not only by independent news outlets like Think Progress and others, but also indeed, like in some cases, the establishment media, the establishment journalists are acting as a kind of fourth estate, providing us perspective. We know from reports in the Wall Street Journal, for instance, and other outlets, that Facebook has been seeking advice from people like Tony Perkins, who is the president of the Family Research Council, which is a conservative Christian public policy group. This, the New York Times and Washington Post never mention. The Family Research Council that Perkins is the head of, the thing that makes him newsworthy as a person, this organization was listed in 2010 by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group based on its homophobic and transphobic positions. So Tony Perkins is going to be one of the wolves guarding the hen house of free speech at Facebook.
Other very interesting characters, like going back to the Nixon years, Grover Norquist, right, the Americans for Tax Reform. Norquist was once quoted as saying that he didn't want to get rid of government. He just wanted to shrink it down to the size it could be drowned in a bathtub. And these are people and organizations that Facebook is looking at to referee political speech. Of course, they do mention Southern Poverty Law Center, right, as being one of the groups. But it seems after looking at the long list, number one, that many of them skew far right, and there's no known public meetings of Zuckerberg with left outlets. You mentioned in Zuckerberg's speech that he talked about how they're not political referees. They're not trying to police political speech, as I believe what Zuckerberg said, correct?
Yes.
So just on that point, I want to mention, back to more materials from Censored 2020, I just want people to remember, in the context of what Zuckerberg just said, please remember that Facebook also deleted the Venezuela analysis site, of independent reader-supported news site that talks about news in Venezuela that actually supported the Maduro administration. Facebook also deplatformed several groups under Mafic Media at the behest of CNN, claiming it was an arm of the Russian government, and they tried to smear Rania Kalek. That also fell flat on its face, ultimately, but let's remember, Zuckerberg is saying that they're not policing political speech. Well, in that case, why is Facebook working in coordination with the Israeli and U.S. governments to shut down accounts of prominent Palestinian political parties and activists? I could go on and on here. The same day that Assange was arrested, Julian Assange, Facebook removed the page of Rafael Correa, the former president of Ecuador, who had granted Assange asylum. These are hardly coincidental. This is something that we should seriously question, people like Zuckerberg and what they are actually claiming. We are speaking with Associate Director of Project Censor, Dr. Andy Lee Roth. And after this musical break, we're going to continue and wrap up our conversation. Stay with us. Thank you. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff, and we're in our concluding segment for today's program. We've been joined by the Associate Director of Project Censored, Andy Lee Roth. He is the head of the Validated Independent News Program that we have at Project Censored that researches our underreported stories. And the topic today was one of the underreported stories about social media control of information and partnering with think tanks and so forth. Now, this is something that's being openly discussed in the corporate media as a Facebook News partnership with the New York Times and other organizations. So Andy Lee Roth, let's conclude the conversation for the day here in the time we have left. We just talked about Zuckerberg making these comments about how they weren't interested in violating free speech issues, yet I just did a partial laundry list of the many cases where Facebook was completely involved in a biased way, censoring, deplatforming, favoring certain views of the establishment over others. And that gets us back then to the importance of independent news media, alternative news media, and of course the very significant reminder that critical thinking and critical media literacy education are really the antidotes to these kinds of assaults against us. And we have to really empower and exercise our own democratic agency, right, to be able to be more informed, not just about the things happening around us, but about the systems and structures of information that create a new architecture of censorship in a digital media age in the 21st century. So, Andy Lee Roth, let's take it back around to the very importance of the independent media that social media is now trying to deplatform or marginalize.
And I think, again, to reiterate points from earlier in the conversation, because they're so fundamental in terms of, I would say, critical media literacy. When you look at the reporting that you'll find about the announcement of the launch of Facebook News, when you look at the reporting you'll find about that in the New York Times, in the Washington Post, in other establishment outlets, that coverage, if you look at it on its own, will look perfectly fine. It will look like a glass of water that isn't, in effect, tainted by any negative content. But that's in some sense just the point, that any of the chunky stuff that would be interesting, that would give vibrancy to that reporting, has been filtered out by virtue of what we know to be a long-standing bias. It is, to me, in my personal opinion, the most fundamental bias that drives almost all news coverage, which is news reporters' everyday reliance on official sources, official figures, as both the sources of news and the newsworthy actors who make news happen. And so when you have a lineup of people commenting on the partnership that consists only of executives from the companies, when you have news coverage that covers the announcement of a new partnership exclusively in terms of the perspectives of the executives representing the entities that are partnering, you have a very narrow range of perspective on that story, on that issue. And you have, as we noted, with one exception, there's nothing like a dissident voice there. This fits exactly with what Ed Herman and Noam Chomsky argued in Manufacturing Consent way back in 1988, which is that the news is filtered in ways that dissident voices are either marginalized or excluded altogether. But you can't see that. That's invisible if you only look at the news coverage of the corporate establishment outlets themselves. The only way you'll be reminded that there is a much greater diversity of perspectives is if you look at news that represents a more diverse range of perspectives. And in this case, you know, fundamental to what we do in classrooms around the country, and on episodes of the radio show like this one, and in our book each year, is to try to alert the public to the idea that looking at independent news media coverage of the same topics as covered in the corporate news media allow us to see, in effect, to identify these blind spots, these third rail topics, and really ultimately, as I see it, the fundamental reliance of corporate journalism on official sources as the only newsworthy perspectives out there. And official sources could be government officials, they could be corporate officials. And when you look by contrast at Common Dreams, for instance, and see how they're covering Facebook's partnerships over the last couple years, you'll find that the reporters who are covering those stories are talking to different kinds of sources. They aren't only corporate executives, and therefore they're telling different kinds of stories.
That's pretty remarkable. And it reminds me, the New York Times editor would talk about how they don't have a bias. But then later in the same interviews, they talk about how they're a pro-capitalist or a pro-neoliberal publication. It's as if it's the air they breathe. So pointing it out in mixed company is impolite. And now we see this partnership between New York Times and the Washington Post and these other organizations with Facebook, right? And as long as Facebook works with them to cement and curate in the mind of the public what is newsworthy and is not, or who is newsworthy and not, as you just were indicating from Chomsky and Herman, then that kind of partnership is okay, and somehow that looks like it's fighting fake news. What it seems to really be doing is, and I used the word cement a moment ago, is kind of cementing these elite organizations run by extraordinarily the wealthiest people in the world, in some cases, their supremacy over knowledge and information dissemination and how they determine what is the news, while not only are they looking to smother the independent alternative and smaller news media, they're marginalizing them further, deplatforming them, censoring them, and in some cases targeting them, as Trump would say, enemy of the people, and Russian stooges or Russian assets, as we saw with Mafic, and even as we've seen with Mint Press News, as being some kind of an arm of Hamas, or as Abby Martin over at Empire Files allegedly being a Russian stooge. We just saw a rekindling of those straw person ad hominem attacks with Hillary Clinton, calling people that are at least somewhat more critical of the neoliberal political culture in the United States as being Russian assets. So these issues seem to be all connected and all related. And it's very interesting, because we've been following this at Project Censored for years. It's interesting now to see this formal partnership being forged, and then the way in which it's covered at the New York Times, it's as if it's justified by being a sound business venture.
I'm reminded, as you're speaking, of the title of a book now that students in my sociology classes would find impossibly old, and yet it's still an important book, News from Nowhere, which took its title from an incredibly rich quote that I want to offer up, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about it as a way of wrapping up this segment. The idea of News from Nowhere in Epstein's book title came from a quote from Richard Salant, who was the president of CBS News throughout most of the 60s and 70s. Who famously said, our reporters do not cover news from their point of view. They're presenting them from nobody's point of view. It's news from nowhere. And the thing about this is, like, on one hand, Salant was making an important point that I think many people do misunderstand, which is individually, news reporters, news professionals are unlikely to be able to grind their own political ideological axes in their positions as reporters or editors. So that point of Salant's, they don't cover news from their point of view, is, I think, at some level valid and instructive. But the second part of Salant's, that it's news from nobody's point of view, is just refuted by every sociological study of news that I'm aware of, which again and again, the core finding is that insofar as news reporters rely on official, governmental, and corporate sources to be the sources of news and information and perspective about the world, the news represents an official bureaucratic viewpoint of the world. And that critique is a bullseye critique of the corporate media. We've been talking today about Facebook and social media and partnerships. And I think the corporate news coverage of these topics reflects that insight, that it's a corporate bureaucratic governmental view of the world reflected in the corporate news media. But I think the most important point, and listeners of this program will be well aware of this, but it bears repeating nonetheless, that the independent news media represents a long-term, sustainable, high-quality alternative to that, because it's not tied to official corporate sources and governmental sources, because independent news reporters treat other kinds of people as newsworthy, as being important political actors themselves, and as important sources of perspective on the events of the day. That point is just ground zero to me. And it's clearly on display if you compare independent news coverage of the Facebook news program being launched and how independent outlets are talking about it.
And it's another reminder of why the moniker of mainstream news is a propagandistic cover for how these are public relations for major corporations, and they're owned by six major corporations. Another reason why we are getting that kind of bias and slant from these sources, and we get very different kinds of information coming from the independent and alternative sources, like you just mentioned. That about does it for the program today. I was joined by our guest, the Associate Director of Project Censored, Dr. Andy Lee Roth, also co-editor of our new book on Seven Stories Press, Censored 2020, Through the Looking Glass. And again, that theme, the theme of today's show runs throughout Censored 2020. It's the second story in our top 25. You can go to projectcensored.org to review that story on partnerships at Facebook. The articles that we were mentioning will be sure to list in the comments, so anyone listening to the show can go online and follow us on our social media accounts that we were just wildly criticizing. And you can link to these articles to see what we were following. And also another reminder that we're going to be doing another show on the chapter on fake news as a Trojan horse for silencing alternative news and reestablishing corporate news dominance in the near future with Emil Marmel and Lee Major. So Andy Lee Roth, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule as we're promoting not only our new book, but working on the next. Also a teaser for listeners too, we're going to be having Andy Lee Roth back on the show in the near future, very near future, because we want to share a recent study that he co-authored with April Anderson titled Stonewalled, Establishment Media's Silence on the Trump Administration's Crusade Against LGBTQ People. So Project Censored Show listeners, stay tuned. We've got several action-packed shows coming up over the next month. Andy Lee Roth, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Mickey. It's always a pleasure to join you.
Land supporting human conditions, not free market propaganda and corrupt politicians, because they own by special interest groups that fund their campaign.
You've been listening to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. Our co-host is Chase Palmieri. Our senior producer is Anthony Fest. Associate producer, Dennis Murphy. The Project Censored Show airs on roughly 50 stations around the United States. To learn more about our program, you can go to projectcensored.org, and our shows are archived back to its inception. Please follow us on social media. Even though we've been talking about social media today and there are many issues, we're also there on the platform, and you can cut through the din. Find Project Censored on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter while you still can. Again, to learn more, go to projectcensored.org. And we'll see you next time.
Created by the criminal minds, political ties, habitualized, alibis, disguised, another guise of democracy, politics, and the apocalypse, got the skies looking ominous, so the ocean burned bright with waves full of poison, genocide, wars, fall for little boys, and the weapons manufactured paid for by attacks upon the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing, all the prisons, build the capacity, citizens, hypnotized by the master thief, combine and conquer, steal a masterpiece, open your eyes and realize what's happening, time's running out to reach all potential, if you ain't at the table, then you're probably on the menu, we got that love. We want to make it clear, we ain't scared, this is the vision we want.